Blog Talk Radio.
Water through a party in the county jail. Friends and band was there, they began to wait. Band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard your locked out jailbird sing that rock. Everybody that rock. Everybody in the whole damn bar was dancing to a daylight rock. Spider-Man plays in a saxophone. Little Joe was blowing on the slide trombone. Drummer boys and Eleanor with crack boom bang. The whole rhythm section was a purple gang. Let's rock. Everybody let's rock. Everybody in the whole damn you're the cutest jailbird I ever did see. I sure would be delighted with your pomp and me. Come on and do the jail, how to rock a little bit. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody in the whole jailbird. Who's dancing to the jail, how to rock, how to rock. On a block of stone, over in the corner weeping all alone. The warden said, hey buddy, don't you be no square. You can't find a partner, use a wooden chair. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody in the whole cell block. We're dancing to the daylight rock. Shift to Henry, send the bugs for heaven's sake. The one's looking out a chance to make a break. And he said, Nick's Nick, I'm gonna stick around, I wanna get my kick. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody knows what they're about. We're standing to the jail. Standing to the jail. Standing to the jail.
Is set for yet another possible indictment of former President Donald Trump.
And a grand jury could announce a decision as early as this week. 11 Alive's Doug Richards is live with a look at the increased security and road closures in downtown Atlanta. Doug, all yours.
Yeah, you know, just eyeballing the security here at the Fulton County Courthouse, if there is an indictment this week of former President Trump, it would certainly occur within a substantially fortified courthouse environment. All manner of traffic and parking restrictions are in place around the Fulton County Courthouse, and sheriff's deputies stayed visible from the sidewalk outside a courthouse that was still open to the public, even as a grand jury met in secret on an upstairs floor. If it returns an indictment, former President Donald Trump could face state racketeering charges based on his effort to overturn the 2020 election result in Georgia. But that's still pending. Today, Fulton County Sheriff Pat Labatt declined to talk with us about the security he has in place here, security which allowed in front of the courthouse a quiet guy who held a sign encouraging DA Fani Willis to put Trump on trial in Georgia.
State stuff can't be pardoned by the president.
Told me that he is an Atlanta resident, but he declined to identify himself because he said he feared reprisal from Trump's political backers. I saw another gentleman walking up the street. He was wearing the T-shirt of a Georgia backer of President Trump, but he was just walking up the street on his cell phone. There was a considerable absence, really, of sort of political demonstrations here, at least early in this process. Political demonstrations in a highly politically charged legal environment here at the Fulton County Courthouse. I'm live at the Fulton County Courthouse. Doug Richards, 11 Alive.
All right, Doug, a lot of theater.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is well this evening. And we're ready to go.
Yes. Anything and everything about current U.S. politics will be discussed tonight. As you heard in that clip, in that report, that Fani Willis is ready to drop the hammer on Donald Trump and he will be indicted, and there's no pardon for state crimes. It is alleged that Donald Trump tried to get 11,000-plus votes. Not alleged. Kyle heard a conversation on our recording with the Secretary of State of Georgia, who's a Republican, and she may slap him with state racketeering charges, and hopefully she's she'll go after him for RICO charges as well. So thank you for joining us tonight. You can call in at 515-605-9802, say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises as a distraction for us as hosts and listeners in general. Do not speak over the host. Join our website and visit to see the different blogs, different recipes that's up there. And we'll have a merchandise department now, which will be going live and full stream soon. The website is kitchenpolitics123.com. And we're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Laurie, where should we start now? A lot of things have been happening.
Oh, so much. Well, first of all, the Georgia courthouse, that's very interesting because as he was saying, they've had dogs sniffing for, bombs and different things in the cars that are there around the courthouse, and barrels, not barrels, but they look like
barricades.
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, they put up like a metal fence around it as well. So you have that, then you have the metal fence and, security. They have all around the courthouse has been very visible. So I don't think they would be doing this if they were not planning on something very, very soon, because all of that costs money, to prepare for, and I'm hoping it's tomorrow or the next day. That would be great.
Yes, and the scene outside of Fulton County Courthouse, that's in downtown Atlanta, is perhaps the biggest indication that something major could happen soon inside. As the report said, that a grand jury is upstairs in that building, somewhere upstairs in that building, making a decision. A road in front of the building has been closed to traffic, had orange barricades, metal barricades. The officers from both the sheriff and marshal's offices have had a visible presence. So Monday morning, a bunch of sniffing dogs were brought in to check media vehicles. And District Attorney for Fulton County, Fanny Willis, will soon be presented her 2020 interference case to a grand jury. Fanny Willis, who has been investigating whether former President Donald Trump and his allies meddled in Georgia's 2020 presidential election, has sent subpoenas to witnesses in the probe, telling them to be prepared to testify before the end of the month. So now Lindsey Graham was trying to avoid that, but that fell flat. And he is one of the main people that when it happened, he, went down there trying to throw his weight around as a U.S. senator and tried to help Donald Trump, allegedly, with interference. But we'll have Trump on tape. It should be an open and shut case. And, her office, Fannie Willis's office, could seek indictments in the first half of August. So we're in the first half of August and everything. And could happen between now and August 14th. Because that's what Fannie Willis wrote in a letter to the chief judge in May. And I quote, "I respectfully request that judges not schedule trials and in-person hearings during the weeks of Monday, August 7th and Monday, August 14th. So Willis has been conducted a wide-ranging investigation since early 2021 into whether there was any coordinated attempt to unlawfully alter the outcome of the 2020 presidential elections by Donald Trump and his allies. She enlisted a special grand jury last year that was empowered to subpoena witnesses to assist in the probe. And it heard testimony from 75 witnesses, court records show. And the panel recommended indicating more than a dozen people It's four persons sent to NBC Nightly News in February. So among those who have been recently receiving subpoenas to testify are former State Senator Jen Jordan and State Representative B. Nguyen, two Democrats who attended hearings where Rudy Giuliani, the then lawyer for Trump, urged officials not to certify the Georgia election results based on debunked conspiracy theories. So Republican Lieutenant Governor, former Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan, also confirmed he has received a subpoena to testify. And the subpoenas instruct each recipient to remain on call in August, noting that they will receive at least 48 hours notice before their presence is required. So, you know, barricades up, dogs sniffing bombs for bombs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a whole bus down there in Fulton County, downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so something big is going to happen. And Donald Trump has been, you know, making vile threats against Fannie Willis and, you know, Jack Smith and witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even been accused of tampering with a jury. You know, so, I mean, I guess karma's just playing out and everything. Where do you go from here, do you think? Do you think it's going to be huge in terms of the indictment?
Yes, and, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking there, he's going to have another lawyer for this case as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that ought to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just unbelievable. You know, all these witch hunts, you know, all these witch hunts, and they're all coming after him. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel bad. Mm-hmm. If he'd only understood that, you know, we want to get rid of him more than anything he would ever, can ever imagine, you know, just get rid of him, make him go away, never to be seen again. I
mm-hmm.
wait for that day. I think this case in Georgia is going to be another big case, and I look forward to it because it is a state case, and he can't, like we talked about last night, with federal charges,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe down the road he could get pardoned, but with state charges, you cannot be pardoned. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, this might be, out of all the cases, the biggest one. In relation to being stuck in prison if he's found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, and electing this idiotic dumb shit Donald Trump in 2024, if that was supposed to happen, you know, that would be like giving Hitler and Mussolini a do-over. So, you know, those
yeah.
people out there who are listening, who may be independent and, you know, give up on the political system, don't give up on the political system because a whopping
yeah.
41 million people didn't vote in the last election. So vote
mm-hmm.
straight blue in 2024, and some magic happened. Meaning, we spoke about this at the end prior to our program last night, where, you know, blue states like New Mexico, Michigan, Minnesota, that have state legislatures that are Democratic, with Democratic governors,
mm-hmm.
and all sorts of wonderful things have been happening. You know, and
mm-hmm.
in terms of, you know, feeding school children lunch, hot meals, you know, lunch,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just like a lot of positive changes. It's not
mm-hmm.
cutting Social Security, not cutting Medicare, you know, things
yeah.
like that Republicans that stand for, you know, and people deserve better than that, and they're going to get better than that if you vote Democratic.
mm-hmm.
So Rudy Giuliani... Let me bring up Rudy Giuliani. There are some shocking
mm-hmm.
tips. There was this young miss who worked for him, and his behavior was exposed in new recordings. Transcripts are out, and audio recordings are out showing the shocking statements made by the disgraced
mm-hmm.
ex-New York mayor. I'm going to queue that up soon, but we'll have four people lined up. They've been waiting a long time, so let me get
okay.
the first one in. Hey, hello,
okay.
welcome to the show. Elaine, welcome.
Oh, good evening. Carry
Hi.
On. That sounds very interesting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. And then we'll have Susie calling in from Michigan as well. Susie, are you there? Hello, Susie.
Okay.
Mm.
Hello? Okay, I guess the person's too shy. I don't know. Yeah, so Rudy Giuliani has been a naughty boy recently. It has come out that he had this young miss, and he showed some disgusting behaviors by the things he said and his actions. And it was just atrocious. You know, it's disgusting. Make you want to vomit, actually, the way he...
Rudy Giuliani has hit a new low, even for him, and it's all caught on tape. My name is Dina Seidel for the Midas Touch Network. Let's break this down. Now, a former employee, Noelle Dunphy, has filed a civil lawsuit in New York. It's a 22-count civil lawsuit, and she alleges quite a lot against Giuliani, and she can back it up with audio transcripts of recordings that she made with Giuliani, of conversations that they had, if you want to call it conversations. Now, what she's alleging is that he sexual assault against her, sexual battery against her. She's alleging a hostile work environment, gender discrimination. All of these counts she lays out in this story. So let's get into it here. Now, she herself is a Columbia graduate, been in business for 22 years, and she had been in a severe domestic violence relationship. So she, at the time, this is 2019, she was being offered this job by Giuliani. Back then, he was kind of still in the height of his power. Trump was still in office. He was known as Trump's personal lawyer. So she saw this as this great opportunity. He somehow convinces her to take the job without yet getting paid, saying that because of his really difficult divorce with his ex-wife, he can't be seen as moving money around just yet, so why don't you hold on? She decides to listen to this, you know, believing in these promises. Again, this is the personal attorney to the president. She's thinking, you know, he's good for the money. But it's then it gets much worse. And he does things such as come into her guest room, lies down on the bed, pulls his pants down. And part of the complaint that actually includes a photo, if you remember the Borat movie, where Giuliani does the same thing. And that now is evidence in this complaint because it shows a pattern of what he's willing to do to women. We all saw the movie, or if you didn't, maybe you will, but you can see clearly what he does there. And there's a photo of it as well here in the complaint. And she's saying he did that to her as well. So he does things like this over time, and it escalates. He asks her even during the pandemic on video conferences to disrobe. He ends up having her, without her consent, perform oral sex and intercourse. And this is part of the sexual assault and battery claim that she is having. But what he says about others, I'm going to go ahead and just read directly from the complaint because this is just almost so shocking that somebody who's a lawyer and at this time, you know, still has some positions of power, is so willing to say these kind of things, knowing he could get recorded, and also say it to somebody who he's harassing and not paying. You would think he would have better judgment, but he makes comments like this. He makes derogatory comments about Jewish men and implies that their penises were inferior due to natural.
And to quote, Giuliani said, "Jewish men have small cocks." Yeah. What? We'll continue.
Election. The language he uses is much cruder. This is the language that he uses. But the complaint, you know, it doesn't quite go there. Giuliani also told Ms. Dunphy that black guys hit women more than anybody else does, and so do Hispanic guys. It's in their culture. Part of her count is the racist, sexist, hostile work environment that he created, and you can see here by these comments. Giuliani said, also, Jews want to go through their freaking Passover all the time. Man, oh man, get over the Passover. It was like 3,000 years ago. The Red Sea parted, big deal. It's not the first time that happened, end quote. Giuliani made comments about, quote, freaking Arabs, end quote, and Jews.
Giuliani demeaned and sexualized Hillary Clinton and mocked her body. Giuliani demeaned and sexualized Margaret Thatcher and wondered about the effects she would have on his penis. Of course, you know, he goes after the two most powerful women because, you know, being so sexist, you can't handle the fact that women can have any power. Giuliani said, the complaint goes on to say, Giuliani said, if my life depended on it, if I had to make love to Nancy Pelosi, I couldn't do it. I'd have to die. End quote. Of course, he's not going to leave out the most powerful woman in the world at that time. Okay, the complaint goes on to say, Giuliani referred to employee Vanessa Ryan, who is Maria Ryan's daughter, as, quote, fat, and said that he felt bad for her because she was fat. He further said he was, quote, trying not to feed her, end quote. Giuliani disparaged a female lawyer because of her breast size. That is on the audio transcript. You can read the transcript right here.
So I'm going to play some more a little bit later on, but, you know, this is the Family Values crowd, you know, the Family Values party and everything. And Miss Dumfrey, who was Giuliani's assistant, you know, this is the way he spoke to him. You can find it at Ask Diana Doll 1 on, is it not Twitter, but the next one, Instagram, where Mr. Giuliani said, come here, big tits. Come here, big tits. Your tits belong to me. Give them to me. I want to claim my tits. I want to claim my tits. I want to claim my tits. These are my tits. Miss Dunfrey then said, oh, yeah. And then Giuliani replied, these breasts belong to me. Nobody else can get these, okay? I don't care if they're flirting or they give you business cards. These are mine. You got it? And Miss Dunfrey said, yes. Remember, Giuliani not paying this woman, who's a Columbia University graduate and a professional and everything. And then Giuliani said, understand, I'm very fucking possessive. I've gone easy on you. Ms. Dumfrey said, I don't know. And Giuliani said, I've been easy on you. Ms. Dumfrey said, you're pretty tough on me. Ms. Giuliani, I've been easy on you. Give them to me. Ms. Dumfrey you know, said, maybe. So, you know, that's sexual harassment and hostile work environment. And earlier in this piece from the Midas Touch Network, it was stated that he forced her to have oral sex with him and copulate, you know. So, I mean, Rudy Giuliani is such a disgusting, horrible human being. He's not even good looking, but yet still, you know, when she was in the guest room or wherever they were staying, he came in there, jump on her bed, drop his pants, expose his penis, expecting her to give him a blowjob, whatever. I mean, this is so disgusting and vile. I want to throw up. What's your thought on it?
I'm actually shocked. I didn't honestly know anything about this. Wow. I mean, I've never liked Rudy Giuliani. And first of all, this woman, this Miss Dumfrey, did you say that she was an abused woman from a marriage?
A previous relationship. She was very abused, physically and mentally abused and everything. Okay. And so she just graduated from college with a degree and, you know, a professional and looking for a job. And she figured more or less that since Giuliani had the connections and was Trump's lawyer, then, you know, she'd get her big break. You know, going in there wide-eyed and all innocent and ready to take on the world and everything. And the pervert Giuliani did all these things to her. And she'll have it on tape, recorded, and have it in text messages and transcripts and what have you. So,
yes, I see. I find it appalling. He is the most disgusting, vile. He's number two next to Trump. I mean, honestly, as far as being disgusting and vile and putrid and a liar and a cheat. But this woman, like you said, she was trying to maybe get ahead a little bit, but she didn't know anything about Rudy Giuliani. I mean, I'm not blaming her for anything, but the way he spoke to her, she seemed very She needed to get the hell out of there. Let's put it that way. She needed to get the mm-hmm. hell out of there. Why did she mm-hmm. stay there and take, coming from an abusive relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
but
I'm
we really
saying?
Can't blame her, you know, because.
I'm not blaming her. Absolutely not. No.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
mm-hmm.
he was a predator. Of course. But
mm-hmm.
what I'm trying to say is, when you feel uncomfortable in a situation like that, get the hell out of there. Find an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be back a little bit, you know, kind
mm-hmm.
of, you know, butter them up a little bit and, you know, I'll be right back. And then get the hell out
mm-hmm.
of there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
what else can I mean, I hope he goes to prison for this. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, a big lawsuit. She's pressed charges against sexual harassment,
mm-hmm.
hostile work environment, physical
mm-hmm.
assault, where it is said that he forced oral sex on her, and even copulation.
Yep.
You know, that's speculation. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Julianne as a lawyer should know better than that, you know.
He's, oh my God. That is so appalling.
Mm-hmm.
I really
mm-hmm.
didn't.
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, I don't know. Whew. Okay, so, Elaine, what do you think about that, what I just read about Julianne? Are you surprised?
I'm sitting
mm-hmm.
here thinking those Republicans had the audacity
mm-hmm.
to go after Mayor Cuomo the way they did for
mm-hmm.
kissing a girl on her cheek at a wedding, for
mm-hmm.
being Italians are huggy people, and for
mm-hmm.
him being a person that like to hug ladies, and they
mm-hmm.
went on the attack at Mayor Cuomo and this creep. I mean, I'm listening to the description of what this woman was describing. I mean, this is absolute sick.
Mm-hmm.
Sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Governor Cuomo, not Mayor Cuomo, but former Governor Cuomo.
Governor Cuomo.
Okay, so
that's it.
Yeah, I'm going to play the rest of the tape to listen, you know, listen to what she said.
It's going to make it much easier for her to be able to prove this in trial. Okay, the complaint goes on to say Giuliani made a series of derogatory remarks about the LGBT community, including Giuliani claimed that Mayor Michael Bloomberg, quote, became gay because his wife left him. Giuliani named a prominent Republican as gay. Giuliani used the word, quote, fag to refer to actor Matt Damon. Giuliani mocked Senator Elizabeth Warren as, quote, Pocahontas, with a really hot babe, and Warren does not look like a babe. She looks like a person in search of a gender, end quote. Giuliani later said he was, quote, very hot for Warren. Giuliani named a prominent lawyer who he believed would require $10 million for gay sex. Giuliani then insisted that he was the only one of his male friends who would turn down any amount of money to have sex with a man. Giuliani said to Ms. Dunphy at various times in statements that were recorded, quote, I'm going to make it a little bit painful, unquote, quote, stick it up your ass, and quote, and it goes on, more and more offensive.
Yeah, so these are the things, since she didn't go through all of them, I will. Giuliana said, you know, I can't control myself. I lose control. I think of you all the time. I'm unable to control it. I'm addicted to you. I can't think about you without getting hard. Even when I think about how smart you are, I get hard. And Giuliani stated that he would, quote, get in trouble with underage girls if there are 16 but look 20. He also said, I think of you as my daughter. Is that weird? Which Giuliani said while engaging in sexual contact with Miss Dumfries. So Giuliani, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And he also said, you're a fucking slut. You're my bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get my cock in there.
Be my slut. Be rude as slut. Juliana called Miss Dumfrey a whore.
Yep. No, Dad, he said to own you.
Say that again?
How many did she need to say to him for him to say to her before she got the hell out of there?
Yeah. Oh, my God. These Republicans are something else, I tell you.
And
family values.
Yeah, family values, and they poke their fingers at everybody else. They ought to look in the mirror first.
Yeah, and poke other things where it all belong, you know? This poor woman just, you know, trying to get ahead in life. And Rudy Giuliani exposing his penis and forcing oral sex in her and what have you. So it's just a couple of minutes left in this reading of what Giuliani did. I'm going to play out the rest, and we'll talk about it more.
Here she was listening to this. Here he was saying it, the sexism, the racism, the anti-Semitism, all very obvious and clear. This is yet another low for Giuliani. It seems to be a very strong case against him. She's asking for punitive damages. She's asking for $10 million. This is in the state of New York, where once he was the beloved hero, and he definitely is not anymore. So I would this should be in the list of something he should be afraid of. And this, with her audio transcript, reveals himself. And no wonder him and Trump are friends with the Access Hollywood tapes, thinking they can say and do anything the women around them.
Yep. Hey, Midas Mighty. Love this report. Continue the conversation by following us on Instagram.
So thank you, Midas Touch, for that clip and everything. So Giuliani is co-conspirator one. So he's in trouble there. He's in trouble with Miss Dufry, who is suing the hell out of him for $10 million. He's in trouble because he basically lied in the Georgia election fraud case. And he put those two election workers, mother, daughter, in jeopardy, where people were literally coming in their house and trying to rough them up and beat them up and do all sorts of things and destroy these women's lives. They couldn't go anywhere, you know, without being harassed by Trump supporters and everything. So Rudy Giuliani is a bad dude, just like Donald Trump. I mean, I ask the question, does Donald Trump have people with integrity that ever work for him or with him? You know, are there scumbags like him? Probably worse. My God, you know?
You have to be.
And
you have to be. And, you know, I was thinking today, this lawyer that that Trump has for the case in D.C., his name is John Lauro. And I understand that Trump needs a defense attorney. I get that. You know, he needs a defense attorney. But if this attorney is, you know, brilliant like he's supposed to, like his reputation says he is, why, other than money, why would he take a case like this with everything else, with you know, with the New York case, the sexual harassment, the sexual case, the Florida case, and now the DC case, and that's the one he took. But what I'm trying to get to is, what kind of integrity do you have as a human being to defend a man like Donald Trump and feel good about yourself? I don't know if I could sleep at night. Is it just the money? What is it? Can someone explain that to me? Because
I guess notoriety and their moment in the spotlight and say, hey, look at me, you know, I'm defending the former president, 15 minutes of fame thing. You know, I think they're repulsive, all of them.
But once you find out, if you know anything about the case, or if you know anything about Donald Trump, it's not a case that is a notable case that will, you know, bring you fame or anything. It, to me, it's a black mark on your resume. I mean, that's my opinion. You know,
well,
just
some people don't
understand.
Think that way.
I
some
know.
People don't think that way, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I've asked
and I just want to read
Giuliani.
Go ahead.
I've asked that question to a couple of high-profile attorneys, and I was given this answer. When we study law, we study law to make sure that every case is done according to the rules. In other words, I am protecting their constitutional rights, no matter how you may think of them. And the one particular attorney that I asked this question of, he was a criminal attorney, so he did not get the cream of the crop. He said, I was protecting constitutional rights. And by protecting their constitutional rights, he said, I am protecting your constitutional rights. That's how I had it explained to me by a high-profile criminal attorney. I hope you understand what I say.
Yeah, I understand. I do understand.
It would be like a doctor. He also compared it. It would be like a doctor going to a prison and saving a killer's life. You take it on. You swear you're going to do your best.
Yeah.
And that's what you do.
It's not enough for me, but
that's
you're right.
What you do. That's what, you know.
It has to do with
integrity. Not all attorneys are the cream of the crop either, but it has to do with integrity of the job.
Yeah, but why take on a client that won't listen to you anyway? He's just going off and doing his own thing on his own tangent, making different posts on social media, even though the judges said specifically, do not do that. You know, why take on a case like that? It's just headache.
That's what I'm trying to say. If you're a lawyer and you know the history of Donald Trump these last few years, and if you've been paying any attention, which I assume that he has been paying attention, why would you put if you're a lawyer with any sort of recognition, and unless you need the money desperately or the case desperately, why do this? I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying about moral or anything like that. I'm just trying to say, who would want to defend this man? I mean, honestly, and then go to sleep at night and think you're doing something, you know, humane. I mean, really? That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, totally what you're saying, Elaine, you know, but geez. I mean, I couldn't do it. I couldn't stomach it, you know, defending somebody like Donald Trump. I couldn't do it.
Well, compared it to a doctor saving the life of somebody who was in prison for murder, I understood what he was saying.
But you know what, Elaine? I will say this. If I were a doctor and there was a prisoner, you know, someone in prison that was deathly ill, and someone came to me and said, can you save this man's life? He's going to remain in prison, but can you save his life? To me, that's a different story, because you're doing something humane, and maybe you're saving a life, and maybe his life will change. But he's going to still be in prison. This, for me, he's trying to get him off these charges.
They can't prosecute him without him having defense.
Of course,
in a country where we have a set of rules for the good guys and the bad guys. So
I know,
Donald Trump. I mean, and I know that there's a lot of people that don't like Donald Trump, but he is entitled to defense.
He is. But I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I was just trying to understand why a man with his credibility, and I read his bio, he's a top-notch lawyer, it seems like, from his bio. Why would he do this? You know, that's my only point. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I know he needs a lawyer. I know all of that. That's my only point.
I know when I ask that question, when I ask, it's taken many, many years for me to wrap what this person said to me, to analyze it and mull it over, because when he first explained it to me, I was just like you. I couldn't understand why anybody would take such a horrible case.
Yeah.
And time, I think you'll understand what the criminal attorney explained to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand, but I just, you know, it
repulses me too. But he, you know, we've got to trust our Constitution. Our Constitution has got to come through for us.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mr. Smith is proving that if you do it right, if you get your ducks in order, you do it right, mm-hmm. and you have truth
mm-hmm.
and facts,
mm-hmm.
You have a case.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
We got to go on trust right now.
Huh, that's all we have.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't go on trust, we're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
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 Special hello.
I trust that Mr. Smith is going to present it in such a way that no matter what side of the fence you're on, you're going to have
mm-hmm.
to give a verdict on the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also, I have some hope in that, because you know there's been some high-profile gangsters, I'll call them gangsters, that
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
went to court, and the jury on the charges found the particular individuals innocent. Of the
mm-hmm.
charges, I really, really trust that Mr. Smith knows exactly what he's doing. He's got those charges down there so that there's no wiggle room.
Yeah. I think he does know what he's doing. I truly do.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't questioning any of that. I'm just
questioning.
Well,
how long it took to get Gotti?
I'm just questioning the sanity of the lawyer that took his case. That's all.
Yeah. But look how long it took to get Gotti. I mean, how many times was that man in court and he got off and got off and got off, and then finally they got him?
Yep.
It took, what, 20 years?
Oh, yeah.
About 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A special shout out to Madeline in Michigan. You know, hope
mm-hmm.
you're listening, and I hope you have a good Monday today. Yes, man, throw back a few cocktails for me. On to other news, sports news now, where was it yesterday or day before yesterday? United States women's national team ranked
mm-hmm.
number one by FIFA in the world, unexpectedly lost on penalty kicks against Sweden. And Sweden is a middle of the table, kind of good, kind of bad team. And, you know, it was such a nice, classic game. United States had possession most of the game. They tried to play the hearts out, but they just came up short, because as a former soccer player, I know how penalty shootouts, you know, can go either way. It's sometimes a cruel game, soccer. And Donald Trump, he put on his Truth social network. I'm going to quote, "The shocking and totally unexpected loss by the U.S. women's soccer team to Sweden is fully emblematic of what is happening to our once great nation under crooked Joe Biden. Many of our players were openly hostile to America. No other country behaved in such a manner or even close. Woke equals failure." Nice shot, Megan, as in Megan Rapinoe, the captain, an openly LGBTQ person who fight for LGBTQ rights and for equal pay. She and Trump for many years has been going back and forth with it. So he said, "Nice shot, Megan. The USA is going to hell. MAGA." So this son of a bitch couldn't wait 24 hours after the United States lost before posting on his Truth Social garbage media network, you know, like celebrating the fact that the United States lost against Sweden.
Yep.
I mean, you're a former president of the United States. Where is the sense of, you know, patriotism, you know, the sense of like, oh, you know, America, you know, we should be winning everything. But, you know, he's a cynic and he's a narcissist,
well,
so we can't expect better. What do you think about him saying and posting that crap?
Well, also, he holds grudges. So he has a grudge against
mm-hmm.
her. So that made him extremely happy when she missed that goal. It really did. It probably made his whole
week. Yeah, the point.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, when she missed the goal. I'm sorry. When she missed the goal.
The penalty kick.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. When she missed the kick, the goal, I guess. And that must have made him, like I said, very happy.
Gleeful.
And that probably
gleeful.
Made his day
okay.
Because when did they win the last time? It was 2019
and 4 years before
yeah.
that. So they won two in a row.
Yeah.
No other country ever done that.
Right.
So they're going
exactly.
to win a row, and unfortunately, the
right.
first round.
And she was asked by the media, being that they hadn't won yet, but she had was asked by the media if they do win, will you go to the White House? And she just looked at him like, and she said, no, I'm not going to the White House, and we're not going to be invited. And when he heard that, that was it. And then when they did win, of course, they were not invited to the White House. And now he had to put in this dig. So that's Donald Trump in a nutshell. That's Trump in
yeah.
a nutshell.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, he's very...
That's Trump in a nutshell. It's sickening.
A privileged
mm-hmm.
brat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, always has been.
Yeah. So, you know, the U.S. Women's National Team roster, who also played on the 2019 championship team, Megan
mm-hmm.
Raponi, Alex Morgan, Rose Lavelle, Crystal Dunn, Alisa Nair, the goalkeeper, Kelly O'Hara,
mm-hmm.
Emily Sonnet, Julia Ernst, and Lindsay Horan, you know, you have nothing to be ashamed of. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
In the group stages, you know, you didn't have a good time doing the group stages, a struggle and everything. But hell, you're
mm-hmm.
the best team in the world, and
they
shit
are.
Happens sometimes. And, you know, you played one hell of a game against Sweden, but for some
yeah.
reason, the post, the goal post was just not your friend, especially you, the penalty kick
no.
out, the shootout. You
yeah.
know, so, you know, shit happens. You know, this is a low time, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's going to sting for a while, but... This is the women's national team who has won everything you can think of under the sun. And the men
yeah.
haven't won anything, but yes, they will get more money in terms of pay, in terms of equipment to train with and the best
mm-hmm.
field to train with and what have you. So any young miss out there who, you know, want to hold on to your dreams about being a soccer player, like these women who are just called, you know, don't give up on your dreams. One of these days you'll have equal pay. That was what Megan Raponi and all these women, you know, like Kelly
mm-hmm.
O'Hara and Emma Sonnet was fighting for. And this is Megan Raponi's probably last game. You know, and Lindsay O'Horan mm-hmm. is an awesome individual. And they gave the all. You know, it's not every time you can win. You know, and like
no.
I said, as a former player for soccer, penalty kicks can be cruel, crushing. You know, so don't give up Team USA. You know, I expect them to fight back and come back on top, you know, because for years now, since 1999, they've been the best in the world. And, you know, Joe Biden always said, never write off America. Don't write off the women's national team.
Mm-mm.
They always come back. They always come back.
Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Trump is just a disgraceful human. Well, I can't say human, a disgraceful being. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, he just loves to hurt. You know, he must get a thrill out of it or something. I don't know. He just
mm-hmm.
loves to just
mm-hmm.
dig at people and put them down, call them fat, call them this, call them that, and he just loves it. You know.
ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to say. Ted Cruz is just a scumbag. Real big scumbag. Okay, so Trump followers completely lose it at their reign in D.C. recently. I'm going to play like a clip about this guy who will support Donald Trump no matter what, no matter what evidence is presented and how many times he's been indicted. And here's a small clip. You know, these people are cultists and lost their minds, lost the script. Here it is.
What happens?
I mean, was he right about everything?
No, my question is...
Trump was right about everything.
So if he's... But if he's convicted, would you still vote for him?
Absolutely. Convicted of what?
Is there any of the 78 charges that he's facing felonies, would you still vote for him?
If I took a shit right here, I cut it up into 78 pieces, what would I have? I'd have the same stupid piece of shit. It's irrelevant.
It doesn't
it's
matter.
Cut up into 78 different pieces.
What if you personally witnessed him commit a crime and then he was convicted?
Well,
would you then
happened.
Vote for him?
Like if he... If he had Don Jr. working for a natural gas company
no, I'm
making $80,000 a month
any,
and then started a war in Ukraine?
Under any circumstance would you not vote for him, I guess?
No, absolutely not. This is a proven track record. He's a perfect president. He's an American hero, and he's the greatest thing that's ever happened to the American political. Now,
yeah, so this is what we're fighting against, man, this cult, this MAGA cult, which is ridiculous. I mean, no matter what he does or says, he can't do any wrong in the eyes of people like that man who was just saying, you know, not, no matter what Trump does, then, you know, they still vote for him. It's appalling. It's and that's why we need independents and first-time voters and 65 and older and the Generation X and the baby boomers to come out in full force and re-elect Joe Biden, because if we have Donald Trump in the White House again, it'd be like giving Hitler and Mussolini a do-over. And we can't let that happen because I just said last program last night that Donald Trump played his card saying that once, if he's elected in 2025, when he takes oath of office, it's going to be a dictatorship. He said it, big and boldly, Republicans like Mitch McConnell and whoever else back him. You know, so that would be the end of our democracy, and we're not going to allow that. By hell, we're not going to allow that. That will not happen, not on our watch.
Absolutely can't. Yeah. You're right. Can we take a moment to talk about Aileen Cannon?
Sure.
Her name is Aileen Cannon, issued a perplexing order that was critical of Special Counsel Jack Smith and could lead to more delay in the Trump document theft case. And what she went on to say is order by Cannon comes in response to the Special Counsel's team requesting what is called a Garcia hearing to address potential unwaivable conflicts of interest with Donald Trump's political action committee paying for the same lawyer, Stanley Woodward, to represent co-defendant Waltine Nauta and at least three other fact witnesses who could give testimony against Trump and Nauta. Special Counsel Jack Smith's team requested to file certain evidence about these conflicts of interest under seal, meaning confidential to the public, but not to the parties because of the grand jury secrecy. So that's crazy that she did that. You know, absolutely crazy. I don't understand this woman. And another thing, let's see, it's right here. I'll send it to you, David, so you have it. So basically what she's trying to do is slow things down. You know, this is more work for Jack Smith, more paperwork, more back and forth, you know, and then we have the other lawyer for the Washington, the DC case. They've been going back and forth as well. And all this takes time. So I hope they get rid of her. You know, I hope that they do. I really do.
Yeah, the 13th District Court is who have the yay or nay in removing Eileen Connor as a judge, Trump-appointed judge who's overseeing this case. And, you know, now Clarence Thomas, I've been told, is in charge of a 13th District, so there's no proof that or reliable evidence to say if they move her, a next Trump appointee would be appointed, or somebody who has the experience and who is neutral, but, you know, has a reputation of being tough, you know. So I don't know if removing her is necessarily a good thing, because we could get a worse judge than her, who is because Trump appointed them. They're even more of a political ideologue than her, you know. So, I mean, I would say keep her for the meantime and give her enough rope to hang herself. So when she do mess up, we're expecting her to mess up, then, you know, we can just, you know, toss her out and get a judge who's reliable, have integrity, have the experience to run a case like this.
Yeah, it's maddening. But I do think the D.C. case, I mean, not that this is not important, because it is important. I think the D.C. case and the Georgia case are the two cases that I'm really looking forward to something good happening. This Florida case with this judge, I don't know. She sounds like she's, you know, wants to put little wrenches in, you know, in play there, and she just wants to delay things for certain reasons, and we kind of know what they are.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, because listen, out there in the social media world, you have pictures of her and Trump paraphernalia, and, you know, like defending Donald Trump as a citizen, you know, take off her judge hat and be a normal, regular citizen. So how can they expect her to be a neutral, you know, or what's the word for it? Being partial as a judge in a case when she's so pro-MAGA, ultra-MAGA conservative / Trump supporter. You know, that it makes no sense, you know, but like I say, give her enough rope to hang herself, it will happen. And when does that? But my fear, though, if and when that happens, will they call a mistrial? And again, if they call a mistrial, then Trump escape it.
I don't know. I don't think that they would do that, knowing that, you know, he could get away with this. No, this case is too important. You know, there's another thing that. I sent you the article, David. U.S. District Court Judge Eileen Cannon demanded an explanation from Special Counsel Jack Smith for his continuing investigation into Donald Trump's mishandling of classified documents. The Florida-based federal judge struck two sealed motions filed by prosecutors in a ruling issued Monday morning and appeared to disclose that Smith was investigating the classified documents case in a grand jury proceeding in another district. And Cannon asked for an explanation to be filed by August 22nd. Among other topics as raised in motion, the response shall address the legal propriety of using an out-of-district grand jury proceeding to continue to investigate or to seek post-indictment hearings on matters pertinent to the instant indicted matter in this case, Cannon wrote. Cannon granted Trump and his co-defendants permission to file their own briefs on the grand jury issued by August 17th, but they're not required to do so. So, what is that about? I mean, it sounds like she's come out swinging.
Yeah, so is the Trump team is into delay, confuse the public, and just, like, try make it be chaotic so nobody understands it, and people just get frustrated, and,
You know, I was also, and now that you brought that up, I was thinking also today, it's possible that we could have four different trials going on at the same time. Just think about mm-hmm. that for a moment. Think about, and you, I mean, this is what you said, and I agree, that it can be confusing and mm-hmm. frustrating, to say the least. And you're absolutely right, because I'm already frustrated. I mean, you know, we knew Judge Cannon was going to, you know, put a monkey wrench in things, and she has. She has. And, of course, Trump's lawyer is trying to do the same thing in D.C., you know, talking mm-hmm. about the First Amendment and, you know, all this other stuff. They're trying to confuse the issues as well. That is the only mm-hmm. defense that they have, is to confuse issues, delay, 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 and delay. Mm-hmm. That's my
right.
opinion.
Yeah, yeah. And they want to delay till after the election because, God forbid, Donald Trump wins and he becomes president. It's unprecedented where, you know, a president can pardon himself. That would be a conflict of interest right there. And,
yeah.
you know, but they can't charge him while he's president. And the statutes of limitation will run out and then he just escape mm-hmm. everything. Where you can't prosecute him anymore because he's a sitting president, and it's just frustrating at this point, and mm-hmm. so early in the wrapping up of the cases, it's so frustrating. You know, you try to keep up mm-hmm. with the different breaking news and what have you, and Trump feeds off of, you know, the chaos and what have you, and with him. Mm-hmm. Posting on social media, his idiot truth social, you know, it's just like mm-hmm. giving, you know, blood to his base, saying that, oh, okay, I'm fighting for you. No, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's he fighting for? Himself. When he gets back in there, mm-hmm. he can have a prosecutor. The statute mm-hmm. of limitations and some of the cases run out.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll use DOJ and he'll use the IRS to go after his enemies, his mm-hmm. political enemies. You know, so
yeah.
we can't allow Donald Trump to be reelected because it's giving Hitler or Mussolini a second chance, a second bite of the apple.
And
if
I also
Donald Trump, God forbid, wins in 2024, it's over. Democracy is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also think that Trump and his attorney are purposely trying to provoke the Washington, D.C. judge. I truly do. I think they're trying
mm-hmm.
to poke the bear, and maybe he's trying to push the limit so that maybe she'll say, okay, you have a gag order or you're going to sit in prison for a week, you know, until you calm down. And then he's going
mm-hmm.
to be the victim. And then,
mm-hmm.
he is the victim. Look what she did. And she is a black judge as well. Look what she did to me. You know?
Yeah, Jamaican judge, a Jamaican-born judge appointed by Barack Obama. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so these are the kinds of things that we have, that they have to think through. You know, we see things a little differently because we see, you know, what Trump is doing and, you know, he's making these threats. And we know that they're threats. If you come after me, I'm going to get you. I'm going to come after you. We know he said that. And like I said, maybe he's just doing this to make her so angry that she says, okay, you're under a gag order or you're going to sit in prison for a while and calm down.
Trial. Yeah.
Then, you know, mm-hmm. and then, you know, then his supporters will say, oh, look, you know, look at what we're doing. Look what they're doing to Trump. You know, he's being crucified
mm-hmm.
here. He hasn't done anything wrong. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
he's in a bad spot as well.
It's mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
sad and appalling and sickening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. This is Kitchen Politics 123, Season 5, Episode 23. It's open mic night. Go to the website and visit us at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. And tonight is open mic, like I said. Anything's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion
mm-hmm.
about politics in America or even what's happening mm-hmm. worldwide, Ukraine war against Russia, the aggression by Russia, You know, you can call us in at 515-605-9802. And on the lighter side, who do you think is going to win this Women's World Cup that's being played in New Zealand? It's a long shot. Jamaica is ranked 43 in the world, and for the first time in their history, they've gone through the final 16. Good luck to Jamaica, and good luck to the African nations. That's three African nations for the first time in their history, whether men or women, World Cup history, has gone through to as well. So big teams like USA, France, Germany, all knocked out. Morocco, big surprise is Morocco, just like the men's team. The women are, like, kicking ass and not taking any names and everything. So, you know, all these, quote-unquote, below par teams are really making a statement in this World Cup. And as far as I'm concerned, I've seen some brilliant goals by these women. You know, I am shocked to see how, you know, beautiful these women play this game. You know, it's dominated by men, but women make it look pretty and classy. Okay, so we have another caller coming in. Let's introduce this person. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
How are you doing? This is Sue in Michigan.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Good, good. I caught Rachel Maddow right at the beginning of her show before yours started, and she brought up a topic that I couldn't believe what she was talking about. She said that she saw this ad on TV for JR-15s. Instead of a AR-15, they're JR-15s for We-1-1 tactical guns. Smaller, softer, lighter for toddlers.
No.
Really?
Yeah, and they had a cartoon logo with a little baby with a pacifier, but they got so much back flack from that. They had a little boy one and a little girl one. The little girl one was blonde with pigtails, and the little boy one with pacifiers right on the gun. And they were advertising for this. For toddlers.
Wait, JR-15 as in a gun that can actually fire and kill people.
That's they actually fire.
Oh my God.
And they had had pictures of the guys that are marketing it, holding it, having little kids. They had little kids looking through the scope and everything. And Illinois banned the advertising, but not the guns.
Wow.
Oh, crap. Somebody's calling me.
Wow.
Hold on 2 seconds, okay?
Oh, yes, man. Yeah, take your time. Take your time. Yes, man.
Hello?
Oh, JR-15. I've never, ever heard about that, man. My God. So the NRA.
Before your program came on, and I thought, well, it's a toy gun, you know, which would be bad enough. And Rachel said, I've got another surprise. It shoots real bullets. Real bullets.
The V1, the name of it is the V1 Tactical JR-15, the AR-15 for kids.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Oh. Oh, that's so disgusting and disturbing.
Yeah.
And Florida is in big trouble. They have leprosy.
She mentioned that, too.
Yeah,
but there was one
and malaria, and the big trouble is DeSantis dismantled the health department that should be handling it.
One more thing on the gun thing. Rachel said the one thing that the Republicans did while they were in power with the president, the House, and the Senate. In 2017, they did one thing. The first thing they did was reverse Obama-era ban for mentally ill people to own guns. That was the first thing they did. So it pissed me off. Yeah, crazy people can have guns. And babies.
It's sick.
It's sick.
It says a JR-15.
a play on the popular AR-15 assault rifle designed to look just like its deadly cousin, but 20% smaller. It fits kids really well, he told a visitor. This was at the Gun Expo in Las Vegas last January. It fits kids very well, he told a visitor to his booth. That'll give them the confidence to hold this thing the way they should, and the having the confidence of holding it, no drop down in the front, trying to manage a weight, that's not right for them. It just fits them really well.
So they can shoot their little brother and sister, right?
Yeah.
Or their
aunt. Yeah, pretty much.
It goes on to
say,
they
could take it to school.
Yeah,
well, they won't have to look in mommy's purse or daddy's closet anymore for a gun. They'll have their own.
It doesn't look, I'm looking at it right now, it doesn't look that small. It really doesn't. Looks like a, it doesn't look that small, but I don't know, you know, in comparison to the AR-15, it must be, but it doesn't look that small.
Of this little kid that looked maybe 5 or 6 years old looking through the sight. And the daddy was behind it and the kid bent over the gun, aiming it right at the camera.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I have a clip here. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois. He was on the Senate floor. And, he was speaking about JR-15. And this is the 52nd clip.
Here's an ad for a new assault rifle that came out this year. The AR-15 is a weapon of choice, as I mentioned, for mass shootings. This is an ad for a JR-15, a junior AR-15. It is manufactured by We1 Tactical. I'm sorry to say it's an Illinois company. It's like an AR-15, but it's designed for kids, 20% smaller and lighter. It's designed for children under the age of 18. Look at the logos in this ad and look closely. They're the same logos that are imprinted on the weapon. They show these skulls of children with pacifiers in their mouths. You'll find that same symbol on the gun that they sell.
Okay, that's so disturbing. It's not funny. Jesus Lord. What is this country coming to prove?
Wow.
So the We1 Tactical press release noted that we believe that the introduction early on will produce a deep respect for firearms that continue and last for a lifetime of safety. That's according to the gun makers saying that introducing guns to, you know, tiny toddlers at this age will make them have a healthy respect for guns and everything. But at that age, you don't know the difference between right and wrong. Suppose you get a child or grandchild a JR-15 and they have a beef with somebody at school, they don't particularly like a teacher, or they're getting bullied. They take the JR-15 to school and they shoot up everybody. What are they thinking, really?
You know, and the other thing is, adults don't know how to handle an AR-15. How many people have been killed with AR-15s? And they think that a child with an AR-15, a JR-15, or whatever the hell it's called, is going to be safer? What kind of logic is going on in this world? And this company, it's called WEE1, was asked for an interview, but they declined an interview. I wonder why.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, AR-15s is a military gun made to kill people. There is no practical use for it. You don't hunt with it. You don't do target practice with it. My husband was an instructor. He's a licensed instructor to teach sporting clays. He taught the local 4-H kids to do target practice. They were teenagers, 16, 17, not babies. He didn't even teach our own kids. My son learned how to shoot, but my daughter never did. I mean, it is just nuts to give it to babies.
Well, it's not just babies. Even if you're 10 years old or 12 years old or 9 years old or 7 years old, I mean, that's even more scary. to me.
No.
Okay, so I'm just going to read one more thing. It goes on to say that, what you know, they declined the interview. And also, in WEE, which declined an interview request, encourages proven safety measures such as proper storage and has voluntarily dialed back some of its marketing. The baby skulls with pacifiers are gone. And the company now touts its gun as a small piece of American freedom. But the JR-15 getting into kids' hands this year at $419 a pop, the controversy isn't going away. This week, Senator Chuck Schumer urged the FTC again to investigate JR-15's marketing, which he called a disgusting and morally bankrupt new low in gun manufacturing. And I agree 100% with that.
Mm-hmm. Republican family values.
Yeah. And they call themselves pro-life. But I have the statistics.
Yeah.
This is interesting statistics, that the states with the highest firearm deaths per 100,000 children in 2020, number one, Louisiana, 13%, Alaska, 12%, Mississippi, 10.9%, South Carolina, 9.9%. This is like the highest firearm rate death per 100,000 children in 2020. So let me say, Louisiana 1, Alaska 2, Mississippi 3, South Carolina ranked 4th, Arkansas ranked 5, 6 is Kansas, 7 Indiana, 8 Kentucky, 9 Missouri, 10 Alabama. What do those states have in common?
Red.
They're red states. And all are saying, oh, these Democrats coming for our guns, but yet still, per 100,000 children, they have the highest statistics in firearm deaths because they don't know how to control themselves with guns. They're not responsible with the guns. And children pay the price, the ultimate price in their life, because they don't know how to put up a gun and teach
their
children.
Their parents
hey,
don't
this is
know how to
need.
Store them safely either. You're
yeah.
supposed
no.
to have a handgun in a locked with a trigger lock in a locked box away from kids, and hunting rifles and stuff is supposed to be in a gun safe, not laying around for kids to shoot each other. See,
that
the parents should go to jail
exactly.
for that.
That is crazy.
It is.
Crazy.
Just absolute madness.
I don't have any other, I don't know what to say about it, except that
could
is,
you imagine, Lori? Listen,
yes.
Can you imagine Grayson with a JR-15?
No.
You know? Oh, my Lord.
No,
or Cole. Or...
I couldn't. No.
And, you know, and the trouble is all these kids are on these video games, you know, the war games where they shoot up people and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's so easy to think, I got a gun and I can shoot the game too, and not realizing you're really killing people, not just a cartoon.
But the thing is, you can't really blame kids for that sort of video game industry. It's up to the parents to teach the kids that, hey, this is right, this is wrong, this is just make-believe world when you play video games and all. But the South, like those states are just called the top 10 states with 100,000 kids per capita being shot and killed by guns. You know, it's up to the parents to teach the children right from wrong, protect the guns, have safety precautions. You know, I mean, we on the show don't have anything. If you want a gun, we believe in a Second Amendment, but all we're doing is asking you to be responsible. But every election cycle, every 2 to 4 years, you hear Republicans, especially evangelical right-wing nuts, oh, Democrats trying to take our guns. Nobody's trying to take your goddamn guns. They've been saying that since Harry Truman days to now, and that's not the case. You know, that's the first
one of my best friends
in election cycle. It's ridiculous.
One of my best friends and her husband used to teach concealed weapons. You had to have a background check to buy the gun. Then you had to have lessons. And then they taught you how to use it, how to clean it, how to store it safely. You had to have a trigger lock
in a strong box and told you to put mm-hmm. it away so the kids don't get in it. And you couldn't mm-hmm. get a concealed until you did all that. Now you just can mm-hmm. buy them online or ghost guns or whatever, and there's no rules or regulations, and that's why people are getting mm-hmm. hurt and die.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. one thing, maybe I missed something. This JR-15, if the parent buys it, let's say, for their son or daughter,
mm-hmm.
who's responsible for that gun if the son or the daughter kill someone with that JR-15? Who's responsible? I mean, if the father or the mother buys the gun, and whose name is it registered under as well?
The parents.
Well, I guess the parents will be liable because these kids are
listening. Well, we're having that problem right now in the Oxford shooting. Yeah, exactly. And yeah. it mm-hmm. hasn't been decided yet who is responsible. And I'm
but
scared
the parents are on trial too, though.
The crummy parents are going to get off.
Oh,
I hope
not. Exactly what I'm trying to say. Who will be responsible? Because mommy or daddy brought it for a gift. What if they buy a gift for their niece or their nephew as well? I mean, think about this. This is not cool at all. It's not like the child is going to go to the gun store and buy a JR-15 for themselves. They're not. So an adult is making a decision for a child, basically.
That's right. That's right.
So how wrong is this? I mean, if you really stop to think about it, how wrong is this?
Very
how
wrong.
Limit is this? How?
Maybe they're thinking for a nice Christmas present.
That's what I'm trying to say to you. Or birthday
mm-hmm.
president. Oh, and
mm-hmm.
uncle buys his a JR-15 for his 10th birthday. Who would
mm-hmm.
be responsible
mm-hmm.
for this gun?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Is the uncle responsible? I mean, this opens up so many questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, like
yeah.
the kid in Oxford. He was depressed. He wasn't doing well. His parents knew he wasn't right. So
yeah.
they were going to boost his morale, and they bought him
mm-hmm.
a gun.
Yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, what, 4 dead kids.
Yes, yes. But, I mean, I'm not – that situation is a little bit different, and I understand what you're saying. But what I'm trying to say here is that someone could buy this gun and give it as a gift for a child, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And – I just want to know who's responsible for the gun. Who would it be?
I guess the parents. Whoever bought the gun for them,
but
it's in their name because the kid's not old enough to have a license. So whoever bought the gun for them, it's in their name, and they'll be held liable if anybody gets shot and killed.
So the uncle would be held liable, I guess?
Bought the gun for the kid.
Yeah. No, I understand that, but what I'm trying to say is
mm-hmm.
this opens up
a can of worms.
Yes, it opens
yeah,
up.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all
pretty
I'm
much.
Trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, who would be responsible? I get all of that. You know, I'm just saying it opens up a business. Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they can have this done without going through any classes, getting a certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing? Here's your gun.
Yeah, it's madness. Madness in America. Okay, so Trump and Biden tied in a hypothetical 2024 rematch. The latest polls fine. And
mm-hmm.
This was done. It was, where is this? Oh, Lord. So what it says right here is the 2024 election looks set to be a rematch between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. So despite this mounting
mm-hmm.
legal problem that Trump faced and far from the most popular candidate, by far he's the most popular candidate in the Republican field, only Florida Ron DeSantis reached double digits, but he's like 1% behind Trump. Marianne Williams, an anti-vaccine conspiracy theorist, Robert Kennedy, are challenging Biden for the Democratic nomination, but there are no real threats. So it seems at this point things may change depending on how, you know, if Trump is indicted. If he's indicted, would the Republican Party choose him, even though he's sitting in a jail cell, if he's convicted? You know, so my question is, if there is a race again, a rematch between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, because it's split 43-43 now. I don't know how it's so close, but, you know, hell. Maybe people not paying attention because the election is next year. Do you think Donald Trump, even though he was sitting in a prison somewhere, if and when found guilty, could beat Joe Biden? And what does that say about the American people? And what does it say about the future of democracy? Laurie.
I'm going to say that I hope that that does not happen. I'm hoping that these trials, and if he's sitting in a cell, shows people that you have to be accountable for the things that you do that are illegal, and he's no different than anyone else. He's still a human being. He's not he's not an elitist, even though he thinks he is. And I would hope that the moral latitude of the people of this country would be to vote for Joe Biden, even though, I'm going to say, even though they would rather vote for somebody else, like even though they'd rather vote for Trump if Trump is the one, but they would sacrifice that feeling knowing that he is a criminal and sitting in prison, and he has no, there's no reason for him to be president whatsoever. A criminal cannot be president. But I don't know. You know, that's my
Elaine, problem. What do you think? What do you think, Elaine?
I would have no worry if we had an election by popular vote. But since we have an election with the Electoral College, I am going to be biting my fingernails down to stubs. It's the Electoral College. It's got me worried. I would wish we'd do away with it.
I don't know what it takes to do away with it.
You know, I really think that the majority of the American people in every state will, you know, would vote for Joe Biden, but we don't know how that Electoral College is going to go. And they messed with it once. They messed with it once before. There's nothing stopping them from doing it again. Right here in Michigan, right here close to where Laurie and I live. Clerks that keep care of the election. Clerks. Let that sink in. You know, I had a lady on Facebook say she was rooting for a particular candidate, and I asked her very politely, Republican or Democrat? She said nonpartisan. I said, there is no such thing. Our clerks are nonpartisan, aren't they?
It puzzled me why some people are independent yet and on the fence and don't know who they'll vote for in 2024, because the amount of rubbish and the blocking that Republicans have done, one would believe that, you know, people say, okay, you're in the seat of power, you're controlling the House of Representatives. What substantial thing have you passed since being elected? Have you done to benefit the people of the United States? They have nothing to show for it. What they're showing is sham hearings and silly investigations that lead up to nothing, waste of taxpayer money. So why would someone be neutral, politically neutral, and don't know who they'll vote for in 2024 when you see Republicans doing everything in the power to say no to everything Joe Biden and Democrats put forward? It's just mind-boggling to me why people are that
way. The other stupid thing, they vote for Joe Biden and then they vote for a Republican to go to Washington. And we had it done here in Michigan. That makes
What are your
sense.
Thoughts? What are your thoughts on Robert Kennedy Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? Is he a Republican plant, you think?
He's a Republican. Mm-hmm. Is a Republican.
Well, with a name like Kennedy.
Yeah, Robert Kennedy Jr., whatever his name is.
I don't think he's a Republican, but he's like a he is a conspiracy theorist. He's a nut job.
Yeah,
okay.
He's way out there. Yeah, he's one of those. He's just way out there. There are people that get themselves attached to. They love conspiracy theories. They love they don't believe in science, you know. They think that, you know, the COVID shots were, made to bring the population down. You know, a lot of them have thought that. That's why they wouldn't get the shot because, you know, that reason. And then we know that there are people that didn't get the shot that died anyways from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
how do you explain that to people? And I think he's one of those. He just likes to interject little things like that and make you think about things that don't really matter. I mean, COVID's done. Why is he still talking about that? Why is he talking about, you know, still talking about COVID shots? And why? It's done. 2020, it's done. You know? Yeah, he's way out there. Not for me. I watched him one time in a town hall, and I thought, you're crazy. You need to just go do whatever you do in your life because you don't belong. You're not a president material. You're not presidential material. You know.
Yeah. And a special shout out to Lou, who is in the hospital, a good friend of the show and everything. Yeah, he is in the hospital. We wish him a speedy recovery and hope he recovers quickly. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
Yes. Yeah, man. Yep.
Okay.
I still can't get over this GR15 thing, but go ahead.
I know. Me either. We were just talking about a second ago about what it would take to get rid of the Electoral College. And I just decided to, because I would like to know myself. Let's see what it says here. We would first have to establish what it is we're talking about here. So it is the process by which we formally choose the president, and the founding fathers had some questions about people, about directed democracy. We know that the way that they thought about the Constitution was philosophical and practical. And so from a philosophical perspective, they just weren't all sure that they wanted everyone in the citizenry to have a direct impact on who would be president. That doesn't make sense to me. The Electoral College is a system. It's a buffer between we, the people who vote, and the actual election of a president. It is intentionally a roundabout election process. When we go into the voting booth, Dean went on, we're not actually voting for that person. We're voting for who that person's party has selected as a slate of electors. So the political parties in each state, and sometimes in conjunction with the national party or in conjunction with the state legislature, they decide how they're going to decide who the electors are. So, in other words, this is way back from our forefathers that wanted this way, because they we the people to have one vote for one person. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, the Electoral College when it was created. You know, if you're a slaveholder, a landholder, you could vote, you know, and the deep poll about if you could read, write, whatever. You know, after the 1865 Emancipation Proclamation, black people were voting overwhelmingly Republican, who was pro-black and pro-minority at that time. But, well, no, in 1964 and 1965, respectively, we had Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. And a bunch of Democrats who are racist and ignorant and full of shit went over and formed a Dixocrat party. That didn't work out, so they eventually went full-blown Republican. And so from 1964-65 onwards, is like the traded places. Democrats were the racist, misogynist pieces of garbage. And then after 64-65, the switch places were Republicans. Now, Lyndon Johnson, who the Great Society programs, help in terms of giving rights to African-Americans and minorities and women and what have you. It was a continuation of what FDR did with the Great Society, with the New Deal Act, you know. So he was giving everybody a chance and everybody to get the American dream. But unfortunately, it just helped a lot of white people, and it wasn't trickling down. There's that word again, trickling down. You know, so Democrats... I say Democrats genuinely care about minorities and women, and, you know, they want to be all-inclusive, you know, where anybody could come in and, you know, fight it out and, you know, debate out, you know, what we disagree on and everything. But Republicans, they're more like Stepford Wives. I don't want to bring religion into this. And Eisenhower, in his speech when he was leaving office, warned about, you know, religious right taking over and about the military-industrial complex and how the Republican Party or any party shouldn't succumb to special interests. And what he said is playing out today. And it came to a forehead when Ronald Reagan became president with the Reagan Revolution, and we're still having the bad effects of the Reagan Revolution, though. You know, so a lot needs to be done in reversing the damage that Ronald Reagan did, that George Bush Sr. did, that every Republican since Ronald Reagan did to America. We'll have to try to reverse that. The Republicans say one thing but do another thing. We see it with Giuliani when we were speaking about it earlier, where, you know, he dropped Trow, you know, forced his assistant, Ms. Dupree, to have oral sex with him. We read the transcripts about, you know, oh, these are my tits, that, you know, grabbing her, groping her, feeding up her breasts, things like that. I mean, this is the Family Values Party, the pro-life party, but yet still behind closed doors are acting this way, but yet still when governor or former governor of New York, Cuomo, just barely kissed a woman on her cheek at a wedding, they oust them. You know, it's so hypocritical and disgusting and disrespectful to the intelligence of the people in the United States. You know, it's just mind-boggling and it's irritating, and enough is enough. I think Democrats should stand up for their own. They should have stand up for Andrew Cuomo. They should have stood up for the former senator from Minnesota. Al Franken. Exactly. But what
he
Democrats
do
is throw each other under the bus. You know, throw each other under the bus, and you know, it's just ridiculous. Democrats are ridiculous sometimes. But anyway, I digress.
To get rid of the Electoral College, I'll just go over real quick. It's just a paragraph. It does explain. It says there are two stages: the proposal stage and the ratification stage. The proposal stage takes two-thirds of the state legislatures or conventions called by the state legislatures to get a proposal off the ground. Two-thirds is a lot. We call that a supermajority, but it takes three-quarters for it to be ratified. So the bar that the founding fathers set for changing the Constitution is quite high. So that's why I'm always pretty skeptical about structural reform, especially when it requires a constitutional amendment. So that's kind of why I haven't done it yet, I guess. And there's not maybe enough people asking, you know, to get rid of it as well. And with everything going on in this country, it's probably not high on that priority list, but I would like to have one vote, one person. I think that more fair than the Electoral College.
Yes, Robert Reich, the first step in fixing the Electoral College, Robert Reich spoke about voting. It's a 5-minute video. We'll have 20 minutes left, so I'm going to play the whole video to let we'll hear Robert Reich, former Labor Secretary in the Clinton administration, talk about the Electoral College and why it is necessary to get rid of the Electoral College. It's an outdated system that is very racist, and we need to get rid of it as soon as possible. So here's Robert Reich.
Else's vote count more than yours? For 80% of Americans, that's exactly what's happening. Their vote for president isn't nearly as valuable as the vote of someone in a so-called swing state. Most of us live in states that have become so predictably Democratic or Republican that we're taken for granted by candidates. Presidential elections now turn on the dwindling number of swing states that could go either way, which gives voters in those states huge leverage. The 2020 election came down to just over 40,000 votes spread across just three swing states. 2016 came down to fewer than 80,000 votes, also across three states. In those elections, the national popular vote wasn't nearly that close. In fact, in the last five elections, the winners of the popular vote beat their opponents by an average of 5 million votes. The current state-by-state electoral college system of electing presidents is creating ever closer contests in an ever smaller number of closely divided states for elections that aren't really that close. Not only that, but these razor-thin swing state margins can invite post-election recounts, audits, and lawsuits, even attempted coups. A losing candidate might be able to overturn 40,000 votes with these techniques. Overturning 5 million would be nearly impossible. The current system presents a growing threat to the peaceful transition of power. It also strips us of our individual power. If you're a New York Republican or an Alabama Democrat, presidential candidates have little incentive to try and win your vote under the current system. They don't need broad popular supports as much as a mobilized base in a handful of swing states. Campaigning to a smaller and more radical base is also leading to uglier, more divisive campaigns. And it's becoming more and more likely that candidates are elected president without winning the most votes nationwide. It's already happened twice this century. Now, abolishing the Electoral College should be the ultimate goal. But this requires a constitutional amendment, which is almost impossible to pull off because it would need a two-thirds vote by Congress, plus approval by three-quarters of all state legislatures. But in the meantime, there is an alternative, and it starts with getting our states to join the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. Now, don't let that mouthful put you off. It could save our democracy. This compact would guarantee the presidency to the candidate who receives the most popular votes nationwide without a constitutional amendment. How does it work? The Constitution assigns each state a number of electors equal to its number of representatives and senators. As of now, the total number of electors is 538. So anyone who gets 270 or more of those Electoral College votes becomes president. Article 2 of the Constitution allows state legislatures to award their electors any way they want. So all that's needed is for states with a total of at least 270 electoral votes to agree to award all their electoral votes to the presidential candidate who wins the national popular vote. The movement to do this is already underway. 15 states and the District of Columbia have joined the compact, agreeing that once enough states join, all their electoral votes will go to the popular vote winner. Together, states in the compact have 195 electoral votes, so we just need a few more states with at least 75 electors to join the compact, and it's done. Popular vote laws have recently been introduced in Michigan and Minnesota, which, if passed, would bring the total to 220. Now, naturally, this plan will face legal challenges. There are a lot of powerful interests who stand to benefit by maintaining the current system. But if we keep up the fight and get enough states on board, America will never again elect a president who loses the national popular vote. No longer would 80% of us be effectively disenfranchised from presidential campaigns, and a handful of votes in swing states would no longer determine the winner. If you want to know more or get involved, click the link below to read about the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. If your state is not already a member, I urge you to contact your state senators and reps to get your state on board.
So that was Robert Reich, the former Labor Secretary in the Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. And get your state on board, us.gov/elected officials. So, you know, 80% of the electorate, their vote don't count because the Electoral College supersedes theirs. And that's not right in this day and age. The Electoral College system is outdated and archaic and racist, and we should get rid of it. I agree.
That's right.
I love Robert Rush. He is an amazing professor. I would love to have him in college. He explains everything so simply so you can understand. I mean, he's amazing, and he is absolutely right on this.
And he's brilliant. Mm-hmm. He's a brilliant. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a brilliant.
Yes.
Just my daughter got to meet him at the film festival when he had his documentary playing in Traverse City. So she got his picture and talked to him. He's a very short man. He was very funny, too, because he drives a Mini Cooper. He said, "That's all I need." He was. He's a really neat guy and brilliant. I love him.
Okay, so ladies, how do we break the Supreme Court? You know, how do we fix the broken Supreme Court? Because we say that Clarence Thomas is bought and paid for, the Chief Justice bought and paid for. Most of the right-leaning judges are bought and paid for. What do we do to fix this broken Supreme Court?
There's not much we can do. It's
Congress needs to pass something. They don't agree on anything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They
do you think that Democrats
to the same rules that all the federal judges and government workers are? No ifs, ands, or buts. The very least.
Yeah. Do you think in 2024, if and when Democrats take back control of Congress, hopefully, fingers crossed, and have a majority, and win back the White House with Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, do you think it's time to expand the seat of the Supreme Court from 9 to 15?
Oh, yeah.
Because what we're seeing now is like a double standard by the right-wing justices. Mm-hmm. You know, they say one thing, they do another thing, they lie, they steal, they cheat, they take bribes.
Yeah, I mean, look at Samuel Alito's wife. He leased land to an oil and gas firm while the justice bought the EPA. So she's leasing land to an oil and gas firm, and he's in court with the EPA. So they basically washed hands. I mean, it is just. Now he should be gone too, because of that.
Yeah,
he really should.
Mm-hmm.
He should be gone. Thomas should be gone. Robert
with
should be gone.
With his wife Ginny, the one that's the Trump.
Hopefully Gina Thomas is a sixth co-conspirator, but Thomas and Alita accepted luxury vacation from GOP mega donors. Justice Gorsuch sold property to the CEO of a law firm that argues cases before the Supreme Court. Justice Roberts refused to testify in a hearing on the Supreme Court of the United States ethics. So basically they can do anything they want without any oversight, and that should be changed. And if they don't want to change, expand the Supreme Court from 9 seats to 15, and, you know, make Republicans kick and scream all they want. Because when they're in power, do you notice that, you know, no matter if Democrats protest or try to, you know, work out something, a solution with them, and try and reach a compromise, Republicans say, "Oh, it's my way or the highway." You know, so...
Yeah.
It's time for Democrats to, like, take off the gloves and just beat the shit out of these people, saying enough is enough. You know, hopefully if and when the Democrats win 2024, and it starts on the state level as well, you know.
And
we
don't
need to
you
win
think,
state houses. Mm-hmm.
And don't you think that the Federalist Society should not be control of the Supreme Court? Because everyone, all those new Republicans were recommended by the Federalist Society, and the Supreme Court judges go to their meetings and their galas, and they're strictly far, far right. That sounds fishy, doesn't it?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
It does.
Absolutely.
They're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to be nonpartisan. They're not supposed to be on one side or the other. Yeah, right.
They are not nonpartisan. We know that now, and there's absolute proof as well. So they should be held by the same as everyone else, and they should not be able to take, you know, be given $1 million vacations and, you know, wined and dined and then ask
and
for
favors. Far-right group like the Federalists.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that gave all the names of the new guys, you know?
Yeah.
It's not right. And they did the other, I mean, Thomas and all of them. They all go to their parties.
Yeah.
They all rub elbows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there needs to be ethics and oversight for the Supreme Court because every other court system has it. The Congress has it. But, you know, Supreme Court is hand-light and above everybody else. So.
Well, I don't think we've ever had a problem like this. Have we ever had a problem like this before?
Not in my lifetime that I remember.
You know. Pardon?
Mm-hmm.
Not in my lifetime as long as I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were above approach. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
We always thought that, you know, the Supreme Court were like white lilies, you know, and they were fair and nonpartisan, non-biased, and they only went by the rule of law. But I guess for themselves, when it benefits them, it doesn't matter. So that within itself is bad, you know. It really
is. What I don't understand is if it was okay 50 years ago, what was the catalyst or what was the reason that I don't remember them giving a reason why it was overturned.
It was okay
50 years ago, and there was Republican judges that voted for it 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, people have changed.
They never gave a reason except
their
cockamamie religious reason.
Yep. You're right about that, but
yeah,
times have changed.
Yeah, they keep on forgetting
about
separation of a church and state, right, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
the
GOP
has
become radicalized.
Yeah. One last thing.
Yeah, we'll have 7 minutes. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Laurie. We'll have somebody else on, but go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I didn't know that. Go ahead. It's fine.
Yeah. Madeline calling from Michigan. Hello, Madeline.
Hello, ladies, and hello, David.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hello, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you sound
Madeline.
Tired.
So we're having
Pop
an open discussion and everything.
Did you folks get a chance to talk about what Trump wanted from the discovery evidence and what he wanted to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
you went there already?
I did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was fascinated because that's why I hung up earlier. They were just starting to talk about it again, and I wanted to hear exactly what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
And he can do anything he wants with it. Oh,
he
no, that's insanity.
Yeah, he is insane.
Oh, I hope
so. Mm-hmm.
I hope to God not.
One last thing before we I have to close up. I just wanted to say for a moment, President Biden is heading west for a policy victory lap. And, you know, he's drawing very implicit contrast with Trump. So that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to show that he is responsible, working for the people. So he will be going, Biden's first stop will be at the Grand Canyon, which he's expected to announce plans for a new monument to preserve more than 1 million acres and limit uranium mining. After Arizona, he'll be traveling to New Mexico and Utah.
Yes. Okay, I wait for him to come here in New Mexico. You've been my Albuquerque, yeah. So hopefully he stops by where I work. That was such a treat.
Get out the ice cream.
It says,
yes, jerk ice cream. Anyway, go ahead, Laura.
He said Albuquerque on Wednesday, and we'll talk about fighting climate change. has created new jobs, and he'll visit Salt Lake City on Thursday to mark the first anniversary of the PAC, which provides new benefits to veterans who were exposed to toxic substances. He will also hold a re-election fundraiser in each city, and Biden will use the three-night trip to continue highlighting the progress he's making across with his agenda, and particularly when it comes to climate change. So, you know, that's all a plus. That's good news, you know.
Yes.
And I guess we just need to talk a little more about President Biden every single day.
Yes, indeed. We're on two nights a week, Sundays and Mondays. You can visit us at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. Merchandise will be on sale soon, coffee mugs, T-shirts, pro-woman T-shirts, baseball caps, you know, all delightful things at a reasonable price. And the prices that you set on there, shipping and handling is included, so don't worry about it. We'll have that covered. And we're going to have more blog articles coming out. Laura's article coming out soon. I'm going to have one by next week, Sunday, before next week's Sunday. And we're going to have more writers on in the near future. So, well, thank you so much for spreading the word on social media. We now have an Instagram page, and we'll have a YouTube channel, and we'll also have, what's the name of that one? Not Tribble.
You're talking about LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yes. Yes, search us, search for us on LinkedIn. We'll have a LinkedIn page as well. We're going to have those up and running soon. We'll have post videos on YouTube. You know, I want to thank everybody for listening in. Thank you, the Young Turks, for the inspiration, the Midas Touch Network, you know, the David Pakman Show. Yes, yes. You know yourselves out there. The motivation, the liberal redneck, he's a good guy and everything. Thanks for the motivation and, you know, doing what you do. It inspires us to do what we do and try and help save democracy against these crazy Republicans who don't care nothing about the Constitution, nor the people who they claim to represent. So, ladies, Elaine and Susie and Madeline, thank you so much for calling in.
This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Monday, August 7th, 2023.
I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. And this is Laurie Pickup from Michigan. We'll see you guys all on Sunday. Take care and love you all. Bye now.
to drinking rum or whiskey. Now won't you have a bubble with me? I'm sorry, I'm a little late. I got your message, by the way. I'm calling in sick today.
Requires grit, not like that, like this.
Truly,
the greatness isn't about what you've done.
Personally, it's fundamental to who you are as America. Nothing more important, nothing more sacred. That's been the work of my first term, to fight for our democracy. It shouldn't be a red or blue issue. To protect our rights, to make sure that everyone in this country is treated equally, and that everyone is given a fair shot at making it. But, you know, around the country, MAGA extremists are lining up to take on those bedrock freedoms, cutting Social Security that you paid for your entire life while cutting taxes for the very wealthy, dictating what health care decisions women can make, banning books, and telling people who they can love, all while making it more difficult for you to be able to vote. When I ran for president 4 years ago, I said we're in a battle for the soul of America, and we still are. The question we're facing is whether in the years ahead we have more freedom or less freedom, more rights or fewer. I know what I want the answer to be, and I think you do too. This is not a time to be complacent. That's why I'm running for re-election. Because I know America. I know we're good and decent people. I know we're still a country that believes in honesty and respect and treating each other with dignity. That we're a nation where we give hate no safe harbor. We believe that everyone is equal, that everyone should be given a fair shot to succeed in this country.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Well, every generation of Americans has faced a moment when they have to defend democracy. Stand up for our personal freedom. Stand up for the right to vote and our civil rights. And this is our moment. So if you're with me, go to JoeBiden.com. Let's finish this job. I know we can't. Because this is the United States of America. There's nothing, simply nothing we cannot do if we do it together.
Only one America. No democratic rivers. No republican mountains. Just this great land and all that's possible on it with a fresh start. Cures we can find. Futures we can shape. Work to reward. Dignity to protect. There is so much we can do if we choose to take on problems and not each other, and choose a president who brings out our best. Joe Biden doesn't need everyone in this country to always agree, just to agree we all love this country and go from there.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.